Blessed be our God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation, give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, "This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, You shall deny yourselves and shall do no work, neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this day atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. You shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. He shall make atonement for the sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel once in the year for all their sins. And Moses did as the Lord had commanded him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join in the reading of the psalm in unison. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son, that he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice, that the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the little hills bring righteousness. He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressor. Live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another. He shall come down like rain upon the mown field, like showers that water the earth. In his time shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous deeds, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and may all the earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Amen.
Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able to raise these stones and to raise them to Abraham. Now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is at hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the cannery, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the book of Leviticus that you heard read this morning, the Day of Atonement is described. This is just one day out of every year, one day in which the high priest alone was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum of the temple itself, there to ask forgiveness for all of our sins on that one day. On that one day, we were allowed to make atonement, which means at one meant, becoming one with God. And it was on the Day of Atonement that Zechariah, the high priest, went into the Holy of Holies and heard the voice of an angel. And the angel said, "You're going to have a son. And his name will be John." John the Baptist was born to ultimate privilege. He was the son of the high priest. He would have had the best of everything: education, food, clothes, respect, honor, glory, everything. He went to Harvard, folks. And yet there's this huge gap between John the Baptist being risen up in this family, and then the next time we see him as an adult, he doesn't have nice clothes on at all. He's wearing camel's hair. He's eating what? Bugs and honey. He's a wild man. And I have always wondered, what happened to John? Why did he give up everything to go out in the wilderness and scream like a maniac? It says in the ancient Greek, John wasn't just yelling, he was screaming at people. Wake up, he was saying. The kingdom of God is here. Wake up. There is a priest who works in the eastern hills of Tennessee. Like many of us, he can be a workaholic, and he had gotten really busy, and his life had kind of spiraled out of control. And his wife, one Christmas, bought him a camera. He didn't take pictures. So he unwrapped this present, looked at the camera, and looked at her and said, "Why? Why did you get this for me?" And she said, "Just try taking some pictures, and you will see why I got it for you." A couple weeks later, they went to their son's soccer game, and this priest, usually between plays, he'd be responding to emails on his iPhone and stuff. But this time, he brought the camera. He looked through that lens and saw his son. "My Lord, he's gotten big," he thought to himself. "He looks so much like his mother." And then he started looking around through the lens and realized how the clouds, they seemed to dance across the sky, and it affected the light on the field. He started clicking to take the pictures, and he caught this beautiful image of his son laughing and cheering after a goal, and the light was just hitting his face. He didn't respond to a single email during that game, but he saw his son. And then he went home and started looking through the lens and noticed that there was a big fat bug in his front yard. And it was extraordinary, the colors and the way it was made. So he started looking at all of these bugs. And then he would later write, "I thank God for that camera because I was so asleep in my busyness. And there was this whole universe of bugs that the Lord had made right in my front yard, and I never noticed a one of them. But that camera, it taught me how to see again." I know that you all were as affected as I was when you heard about the death of Nelson Mandela. It marks the end of an era, the end of a great man. And it is a time to pause and to look at his life. Did you know that Mandela, before he was imprisoned, was on a list of terrorists that the U.S. government had because he was bombing. He believed that in order to end apartheid, the only way was to destroy government institutions and factories, to bomb them. Mandela would later write that when he went to prison, he was so full of rage that it took him 11 years before he began to wake up and look around him. 11 years in which he just swam in his anger and hatred. But somewhere in that 11th year, Mandela began to look and see what was around him. First, he noticed his cell, the single bed and desk, the pail that was his only toilet, the cupboards on his wall, and he noticed that the man in the cell next to him was so weak that it was difficult for him to empty his pail every morning the way they were instructed to do. And so the first thing that Mandela did on his road to salvation and awareness was he began to empty the pail of his neighbor's cell. And he noticed how that made him feel inside and the response of the other prisoner. And he began to wake up and see how the guards, some of them were so cruel, and others of them could be kind, and how their behavior evoked in the prisoners a different kind of response. And Mandela began to be aware of his own self, of the darkness and light that lived in him, and the choice that he had to be a person of light. He would later write, "A saint is a person who keeps on trying." I love that, don't you? A saint is a person who keeps on trying. And in the course of 27 years in prison, Mandela woke up. That's what John the Baptist was saying to you and to me with such urgency that he had to scream at us. He was saying, you have to wake up. Your very salvation is dependent on whether or not you can see that God is everywhere around you. You see, you and I, we can spend our entire lives asleep, and nothing puts us to sleep more than our busyness. I think that busyness is one of the greatest sins in American culture, and it infects all of us. My goodness, it infects every single one of us. It doesn't matter if you're retired or employed or a student or what. I know that you're busy, and it puts us to sleep, and we rush, like my friend the priest said. Every morning he would rush to his car, and then from his car he'd rush back into his house, and he never noticed those bugs. About 2 weeks ago, Pixie Ann Beasley, who's a member of our parish and the wife of a priest, came rushing into my office because she was so excited at something she had learned. She had been to a conference. "Well, tell me about it," I said. This man, she said, got up, and he breathed into the microphone for almost 20 minutes. Now, I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to breathe the way that he did, okay? Listen. People began to realize that as he breathed, he was saying a word with his breath. And the word was the name of God. And if your breath is the name of God, that means that whether you're awake and aware or not, when you were born, the first word that you spoke was the name of God. And when you die, whether you are awake or not, the last word that you will speak is the name of God. John was trying to tell us when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is all around you," that God is right here. God is in your breath. God is in the faces of the people that you love. God is in the intricacy of the tiny bug and in the magnificent sunset. And yet we are so busy that we rush by them half asleep and we waste our lives away. All God wants is for you to see him, for you to notice the beauty of all that has been made, and to notice that every breath is a gift that comes from him. Wake up, John said. The kingdom of God is all around you. You know, I used to think that prayer was a chance to rest, a break in the day, a time for refreshment, a time that I needed. I don't think of prayer that way anymore. When I think of prayer, I picture that you and I, we are underwater in our busyness. We are underwater in our frantic, crazy lives. And prayer is the one time in our day when we come up for air. And it is not just a nice thing or a good thing. It is absolutely essential, as is our breath. And we are so afraid of silence. We've been instituting just a moment of silence after the sermon in our services, and I have had the funniest things happen. One man, someone told me they were sitting behind him in the pew, and he turned to his wife and said, "I like that Moorhead lady, but she seems to lose her place a lot." It's as if we can't possibly imagine that I would intentionally stop and do nothing for a moment. We cannot imagine that it might be worth our while just to breathe. That's how frantic we are. That's how asleep we are. You You know, I think that John the Baptist just got so busy and so crazy in his elite, awesome life as the son of the high priest that eventually he said, stop. I'm not going to run anymore. I will leave it all behind just so I can help you wake up. Because, my friends, if we're not awake, we could miss the coming of our Lord. He's coming again, you know. And my greatest fear is that I'll be running around so much that I'll miss him. And I don't want that to happen to me or to you. Wake up. The kingdom of heaven is all around you. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, I invite you to speak their names aloud.
David, Nancy, Jackie, Carol, Ted.
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the church throughout the world, especially for the Diocese of Western North Carolina, and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For those who have died, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially Roger Brote, Gladys Rady, and Joyce Jones.
Nelson Mandela.
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For all who have come to worship you here today, that we may have the strength to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also offer our thanks for all our many blessings. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
This community, for my family,
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
Almighty God, open our eyes that we may see your hand at work all around us. We may know that you are here, and that we may know when you come again. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. How good it is to see you all. What a blessing. You know, I get the best view in the house. You guys look at a beautiful cross. I get to see your faces. They change every week and is a beautiful image of God. Talk about seeing. I get the best view. So welcome today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift bag, but you have to hold your hand up so they can find you. And we promise we won't make you give a speech, but we're so glad you're here, all of you who are visiting. Welcome, welcome. Can you willing to lift it up? There. Thank you. Yay! There we go. Thank you. We have an alternative gift market. Come on up, Godfrey. All the way up. They didn't keep their hands up. They're being bad. There they are. Don't be shy. Thank you. Welcome, welcome. Oh, over here too, yay. You see him? Okay, he's coming, he sees you. In Tolliver Hall, following this service, we have an alternative gift market. So if you want to buy presents for the people you love, come on up, sweetie, they're over here. You see him? Way down in the corner, in the transept there, thank you. If you want to buy some gifts that also do good in the world, I hope you'll come and look at all of these wonderful things we have in Tolliver Hall. I also encourage you, we have a tradition here of an angel tree. On the tree there are ornaments, and each ornament has the name, age, and wish list of a child. And this child is either A, homeless, or B, the child's father is in prison. So if you are willing, when you're doing your Christmas shopping, to also buy for this child, the gift will come to them from their father, who has to fill out a lot of paperwork. He has to do his job, too, in order to get this present. So I hope that some of you will pick up an ornament and buy a gift for a child. Please do look in your bulletin. There is so much going on in Advent and Christmas here at the cathedral that I don't want to go through it all with you. Talk about being busy. But there's so much, I hope you will consider what you would love to attend. Next Sunday after church, I'll be doing a book signing. I have a new book that came out. It's called Resurrecting Easter, and it's perfect for a stocking stuffer. Also, next Sunday, we're going to have a blood drive, so if you are physically able to give blood, please consider doing that as well.
And last but not least, we had the honor and privilege of having an icon workshop this week. We do this a few times a year now. And we have people who have written an icon. They take an entire week to do this. You do not have to be a painter. And it's an incredible way to delve deeply into seeing an image, which takes you, they call icons a window to God, takes you into meditation on God's presence. So would the icon writers please come forward and we will bless your icons. After church, please come up and look at them. They are beautiful. Come and see them. The Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for these people who have taken time out of their lives to write an image from the scripture. We would ask now that your Holy Spirit would descend upon these icons to bless and sanctify them, that they may be tools for devotion, so that those who gaze upon them may be willing to take time to clearly see your work in the world. This we ask in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all so much. God bless you. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them, you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered himself for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us, at the last, with John the Baptist and all the saints, to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitors who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Keep awake, watch, look. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.
Amen.